From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network. Brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Darton Archery, two of our Michigan family. Also by Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. I'm Duran Martinez. Good to have you along, man. And another weekend. Looks like we're going to be warming up. Looks like the ice is going away a little bit, or will be going away in the southern portions of the state. And then again, of course, be safe, safe out there. And we love having our people. And I've been getting the itch. I've absolutely been getting the itch to get out and shoot my bow. And then you wake up to like single degree temperatures. Oh, and then there's that work thing too. But it's coming up on springtime, and the 2016 models will be hitting the floor. And of course, we did a show in Louisville, Kentucky, went to the ATA, the Archery Trade Association show, where we see all the new stuff. And we actually got to see Ted Harpum from Darton Archery for like a half a second, because you guys were slammed. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Grant.
You guys were pretty well hammered at the ATA in January, man. What was going on?
It was probably our best ATA show since I've been at Darton Archery that I've ever had. The bows, the crossbows, our complete line now. You know, we've really expanded our youth line. You know, we're involved with the Scholastic 3D Archery program now for the youth, which is exploding. And from there, we jump right up into the Pro Series, and then from there into our Target Series line now, which, you know, for years we had some target bows, but now we have a line of target bows. And our pro staff guys that are shooting for us today and our pro staff that we're building out there is just going terrific. And then we step right off into the Toxin crossbow line, which I don't know, it was absolutely the buzz of the ATA show, and it kept us so busy. It was great.
Now, you guys have made some changes. Well, I'm going to get to the Toxin in a couple seconds here, but for Target, you mentioned Target. That's kind of a really niche area for archery, but it's still a popular area, and you've got a true center.
We do.
Bow.
We do. The true center shot, the shoot-through bows, we've got the Vegas 3D, the Executive, and these are bows that actually, you know, there's a lot of shoot-through risers on the market today, but the shoot-through riser that Rex has developed, it actually shoots through the cable, so it's 100% center shot. You can shoot it ambidextrously, left or right-handed. So, I mean, this bow really, really fits the bill for that high-end quality archer, the pro division, so to speak.
And it's funny, too, when I see a center shot, only having shot for about 10 years, it kind of freaks me right out that it's going right through the center. I mean, I get the point of a true center bow, but it's so foreign to me to see that.
Yeah, it's a little different look, but once you get in, you know, you start shooting a little bit and you feel the bow. We worked really, really hard with some of our pros and some of our field staff guys that shoot a lot to make sure that this bow is everything that these target guys really want. You know, and what the beauty of our line is that, you know, we come in out of the 3800, the 3900, the 4800, which are our regular Pro Series bows for the 3D market, and then we come right back into this bow for our spot shooting guys. So we've really got that target market covered on both sides of it. We've got the 3D bows, and now we're actually even making a Vegas 3D and a 4800 3D, which is a longer axle-to-axle. The Vegas is a shoot-through riser designed with more speed for those guys to shoot that outside foam.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, I've got the DS700, which to me, the shorter axle-to-axle has always been the way I have gone on any of the bows, and that thing is lightning fast as well.
You know, that's been a sleeper in the industry, and it's been noted at and wrote up in many of the articles as being one of the sleepers in the industry. If you haven't shot or had a chance to shoot the DS700, please, you know, if you get a chance to stop by a local dealer, or if you happen to be in Lansing this weekend, we're going to have the Darton Shooting Trailer at the Lansing Center, where you can actually step right up to the trailer and take some of these bows for a little test drive.
Yeah, and that's going to be the good thing, too. This weekend is the Field & Stream Deer & Turkey Expo in Lansing at the Lansing Center, right downtown, just a few steps literally from the Capitol. And this is where you can put your hands on these bows. Ted Harpum and the gang from Dart and Arch will be there. I'll be there this weekend as well, kind of flitting around, visiting the different booths. But this is an opportunity which, before you get into that, and I want to preface this by saying that I'm not downing pro shops at all, but this gives you an opportunity to shoot the bow itself, find out if this is a model for you before, you know, you decide to buy it. And that's kind of a rarity in this business.
It is. And what's nice is, Duran, when they come to the Dart and Shooting Trailer, there's a lot of things to see and a lot of things to do. And we've got some of the best pro staff guys, I think, in the industry. You've got Craig Chile is our senior pro staff guy there. They'll set these bows up for you. They'll make sure they're absolutely perfect. We'll get the right draw mod on it, so you get a true feel for that bow. So his staff that's working the trailer really, really know what's going on. We're going to have Dave Chevalier here with Crossbow Warriors, and Dave's a good friend of yours.
Sure.
And, you know, he's going to be demonstrating the crossbow diffuser. You know, we've got Buck Beaver Synthetic Sense. Andy will be here at the trailer. So we got just a ton of stuff going on, so you can shoot the bows, try the bows, and then we got the crossbows. And all of our crossbows will be there as well.
And that's I'll talk with crossbows with you here in a second, but I want to talk about the recruit, because that's something that's kind of unique. It's kind of the above entry level bow for young people to get involved with.
It is, and you know, we are now signed up with the Scholastic 3D Archery Program, which is an archery program that's designed for youth to do a number of things. Number one, they teach them how to shoot the 3D targets. They teach them how to shoot spot targets. They actually even teach them how the safeties of hunting and hunting. So they're able to judge distance and a bunch of the safeties. So this is it's not really an after-school program. It's just a youth program, the Scholastic 3D Archery, and you're going to see a lot of dealers getting involved with this because it is growing really fast. The bows that were selected for this, and one of the bows like you mentioned, is the Recruit. It's just one step above the normal youth bow, but still fits that category into young adults. And you go from there right into the Exciter, which is a 2016 new bow as well, that at 27-inch draw and 50 pounds, this is really crazy when I say this, 27-inch, 50 pounds, is shooting right at 300 feet per second.
Wow, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is super fast for a bow in that category.
That's crazy. Now, tell me a little bit about that bow. And it only weighs 3.4 pounds. So when you get a youth or there are some women that are shooting heavier poundage, but I'll guarantee Sarah Marie's not going to be pulling 60 pounds right off the bat.
Right.
This is another great entry-level bow that's still above that.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we've got them starting now all the way down to what we call the Cadet, which the Cadet is a brand-new bow for us again this year. It's one step below the Ranger, and it's anywhere from 10 pounds to 29 pounds, and it kind of mirrors the images of some of the other bows that are on the market today for the young youth. But one thing nice with our bows and the youth models is we have what we call a positive limb draw stop. So when you're actually training the kids and teaching them how to shoot, we can set their draw length specifically and then have that draw stop right on the limb. So they're, every time they draw the bow, they know once they feel that dead stop and it's rock solid, they know then that they're right where they need to be. So that's just one thing that they don't have to think about again.
Absolutely. Ted Harpum from Darton Archery is our guest. There's a link and a big logo on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, where you can go right through to Darton Archery, Michigan company, over 65 years now, Ted?
67 years.
67. Well, I kind of left off where we picked up last year. I didn't realize we'd been with you guys that long, but 67 years, which is a lifetime in the archery industry, because, I mean, very few companies, if any, have been around that long.
You're right, Durand. And, you know, we only build bows, and this is the beauty of this. We are still owned to Rex Darlington, the head engineer and owner of Darton Archery, a sole proprietorship, and it's kind of a family atmosphere. I mean, we've got, you know, our bows are being made by hunters, by shooters, for shooters. We've got a variety of employees up there that do lots of things in the archery industry. Mm-hmm. And Rex, of course, you know, we license a lot of technology out to everybody. So you're seeing a lot of our stuff on a lot of the bows that are out there today. And, you know, just stop by, you know, get one of these bows in your hand, take a shot with them, and that's really going to show you the difference of Darton Archery.
All right, we're going to talk with Ted Harpum more, find out about the new crossbow line on Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Nick 6 months with Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, at wildmichiganradio.com. If you miss any of our shows, you can pick them up on our podcast, which is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and we put them up there as fast as we can, and you can listen to them whenever you want. And our good friend Ted Harpum from Darton Archery, one of our sponsors here on Wild Michigan, is joining us. It is getting into the springtime, and Ted, let me ask you real quickly before we start talking about crossbows. When is the busy time for archery purchases for somebody buying a new bow? Because to me, I like to think ahead a little bit and, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know, May, June-ish, so I can shoot the 3D throughout the course of the year. But when is the busy time that people are starting to look for bows?
Well, you know, Duran, that's a great question. And it seems like anymore there isn't a bad time to purchase a bow. You know, you've got all the youth programs that are going on for the young adults. You've got the indoor spot leagues going on, all the big tournaments this time of year. You know, the Vegas tournament was just on. We've got the indoor Cleveland tournament. There's lots of indoor spots tournaments for these guys to keep shooting year-round. And, of course, you know what happens here in a month or so. Turkey season opens up here in the great state of Michigan, and that's exciting. I mean, we go from deer hunting, warming up a little bit on the spot targets, and then, boom, we're right back outside hunting turkeys again.
Now, last year, Ted Harpum, our guest here from Darton Archery here on Wild Michigan, last year I was finally beaten up enough by our good friend Dave Chevalier and by you to put a crossbow in my hand. It would have been nice to see something come through the stand, but I did take the toxin out, the toxin 135, the former Rebel. I did take that out on the tree stand, and I tell you what I liked about that crossbow itself was the balance and the overall design. And I'll let you describe it because my words are not going to do it any justice.
Well, Duran, you know, one of the nice things about the new crossbow design, Rex Darlington, again, being such an advanced engineer in this industry and looking for just different types of ways to make things shoot smoother, faster, quieter, more comfortable, and shootability is a big part of a crossbow. So what he has done, he has designed and patented the new bullpup design. So we've actually added a bullpup design to our new crossbows. So what it's done, it's made our crossbows, it's shortened them by 3 or 4 inches, so they don't have to, they're not sitting out there so far, and you have that extended weight out over the front. So now it's 32 inches from the front part of the stirrup to the back of the butt. And it's by moving everything back a little bit, it's made it much more comfortable, much more easy to hold the bow. And of course, you know, we're noted in the industry for having one of the safest crossbows in the industry. We have got the best anti-dry fire. We've got the best finger protection in the industry. You know, we've got a 2-point trackless rail system for accuracy on our crossbows. A very, very, very parallel limb design. So we've got the larger foot stirrup. So it's a really comfortable and ambidextrous safety. And one of the biggest things with crossbows that I see today is the triggers. And Rex has designed a trigger on a couple different models that we have where the trigger pull is, you know, 3 pounds or under, and there's no travel. So, and we're able to demonstrate this by using our anti-dry fire mechanism to let people test shoot a crossbow so they can actually feel it and get used to it if they've never shot one before.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really enjoyed about this is the compact design because with turkey season coming up, a wide, clunky crossbow it does not bode well for a ground blind.
It does not. And this really fits the bill. This just takes that crossbow hunting to the very, very next level. Because of the shortness of it, the compactness of it, and the new bullpup design, this gives you an opportunity to do two things now. You can still hunt in a tree stand if you prefer, and you can shoot very, very easily out of some of the new ground blind.
Now, one of the other things that I noticed, too, on the toxin is your the adjustable grip on the front end of the crossbow itself. That was something, a feature that I thought was quite nice.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Duran, because I did not mention that. The Toxin crossbow line comes in two different models. We've got the SS model, which is our camo version, and then we also have the TAC version, which is our XP model. Now, the TAC version has that front Picatinny rail on it with the drop-down front forearm on it that's got three positions. You can handle you can move it in and out, you know, based on, you know, who's shooting the bow, if your kids are shooting the bow, if you're shooting the bow, if your wife is shooting it, whatever your comfort zone is there, you're allowed to bring that front forearm back and forth and then actually move it to three different positions.
Yeah, it is. It's quite advanced, and I'm a big fan of the tactical packages on these things, and having the adjustability of eye relief on that rail system for your scope is quite nice, because not everybody is the same when it comes to physical stature. You can use the same crossbow in the family, but that eye relief is going to be a little bit different.
Exactly, and if we just, you know, Rex has covered every base you could possibly think of to make this bow be the most shootable bow that you could possibly get in a crossbow line. And, you know, the front Picatinny rail, that where our scopes are sitting, the adjustability from there, it really, and we've made a larger foot stirrup. That's something else I forgot to mention. So most guys, when they're cocking these crossbows, have a hard time because they've got their boots on. They can't get their foot in there. They just get their toe in there. And our bows, the way they're designed, and the cams, when they roll over, as you cock our crossbow back in the last 3 or 4 inches, the weight just drops right off. So it makes it very easy to cock. So it's, you know, for young adults and women, we do have cocking mechanisms. We have a winch that goes on the back of the crossbow, so you can cock it easily like that. But our bow's cock so simple that most people just use a rope cocker.
Now, you've got the Toxin 180, and I'm looking at the specs on this thing, and it's 400 feet per second. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, the Toxin 180 was the X Fire Force. And what we have a Fire Force that we have at the booth, where you actually can pick it up and feel this thing. It's a beast. I mean, this thing is a shooter. It broke the Guinness Book of World Records at 200 yards, 3-inch groups. I mean, this thing is a really, really high-tech crossbow, extremely accurate. But now we've taken 3.5 pounds out of this bow. We've shortened it up, and now we've made it a shooter for everybody. So now you're shooting over 400 feet per second, 18-inch power stroke. So all the features, the barrel suppressant, the string suppressant, the 2-point trackless rail system, reverse bolt retainer spring. We've actually, one of the things that we've done on that reverse bolt retainer string is put a piece of shrink tube at the bottom of it, molded it onto that piece, so now your arrow cannot move when it's set in position. You always want to make sure that the arrow is positioned right directly against the string, against the serving. And with that piece on there now, it never happens. You'll never get away from there. Your string will never jump over that arrow again. And it's just little things like that that makes Darden Archery just ahead of the rest.
Absolutely, man. I tell you what, I was looking at those numbers. Even the Toxin 150 is still pushing 380 feet per second. You know, it's got the 15-inch power stroke. And again, it's very simple to cock. And, you know, you have packages available that you can purchase. And when you purchase the Darton crossbow, whether you purchase a package or not, make sure that you get the Darton-specific cocking rope, because others are made too long, and it's very specific that I suggest that you keep your accessories all together.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. You know, we've got all of our accessories that we have for our bows and our crossbows are designed specifically for that model. And it does make it a lot easier, a lot simpler, and you don't have to try to, you know, figure out how to make it so it works much easier. But I can tell you, Duran, I can see a Toxin 150 XT in your future. This bow is my absolute favorite bow. I've never shot a bow, not just because I work at Darden Archery, but this crossbow, the way it feels, the way it shoots, and if you look at the picture in the catalog, or if you happen to, the listeners, get online and look at it, look where the trigger sits in the trigger housing. And it sits way to the back. So you can look there and see that there is zero travel in this bow.
Absolutely.
The trigger is very, very, very good. It's an amazing bow to shoot. So we're going to be shooting lots of crossbows this weekend at the Lansing Center. Again, we'll have all of our staff there. Our trailer guys will be there. Our pro staff will be on hand.
Appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you this weekend at the Deer and Turkey Expo with the Lansing Center with Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Also keep in mind, Whitetails Unlimited. The big banquet, the Michigan Deer Camp, happening in Lansing on the 27th of this month. Okay, it's going to be a big time. Our good friend T-Bone from Michael Wandel's Bone Collector will be there with us and hanging out, and we'll have our own table there. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Brian Brosdahl is our guest right now. Brian, we've been, it's been a miserable year for ice fishing in southern Michigan where I'm at, and we talked to a meteorologist buddy of mine today that says even with this cold weather, still you got to be careful out there. And Minnesota's been a bit different. You guys have had pretty good ice this year.
Well, it started late. We were at par with each other, and then Minnesota got cold, and it looked like we were going to not have much of a season. But only half the state has really good ice. The southern half of Minnesota had thin developing ice, and they got a dumping of snow, so it's got a mess. And the northern half where I live is where it's all at, and let me tell you something, it's a zoo. it's a league of nations up there. It's everybody's up there, and it doesn't matter where you go. You fly over, there's people everywhere from on these little lakes back in the woods, big waters. But the fishing has been excellent. And, you know, ice fishing as a destination, I just want to say that even if you don't have the best ice, you're not far to drive to it. Going towards the UP, there's ice. And maybe even in the northern part of Michigan is a better perspective. And looking at shallow lakes freeze faster. And but it's what it is. We love fishing. We like setting the hook, and you gotta go for what you can. And if it's a boat, choose the boat. I mean, just get out and fish. It drives the economy, and it's good for the fishing industry.
Our good friend Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, let's talk a little bit about a walleye through the ice. Because, you know, we're definitely talking some northern portions of Michigan from about middle of the Mitten-ish north. And, you know, when I like thinking of those places, I mean, yeah, I love my panfish and whatnot, but I want some freezer meat. I want something that I can take off the ice and then go fillet it out and put it in the fryer. I want walleye, the Cadillac of the eating fish. And tell me, how am I going after them? Because here we are mid to late season in the winter. But, you know, what's the feeding like? I mean, are they getting ready for the big spring run, or what's happening with the walleye?
It's close. I'm sure they're in limbo. And I fished some of the northern lakes in the northeast of Michigan. I have a good buddy, David Rose, over in the northwest top of Michigan. But in the northeast, they found a lot of deep, clear lakes where the walleyes are suspended. And they won't be near the bottom, actually. They're swimming around 20 feet below the surface in 60 feet of water. And there's some really nice ones out there. They're not always out there. Some lakes are different than others. It depends on the bait fish. If there's smelt or if there's cisco, they're going to be cruising the surface or cruising up high looking for them. And, but there's some real cool lakes there that I found that are really good for fishing. And this time of year, you got to think outside of the box. If there's no weed lines, and we did have a late freeze up there, so there still might be some vegetation. But I always like fishing walleyes in the weeds. They're the most active. They're prowling, they're hunting, and they hit hard. And so you find any surviving vegetation. If the weed beds are 100 acres, it's only going to be about 5 this time of year. You just got to find the right mix of weeds. And sometimes it's just finding cara, which is a skeletal fragment of grass that almost every fish spawns in. Cara is like looks like grapeseed vine, and it grows on sand. And important for perch and eel pout or lawyers, whatever you want to call them. They spawn in it probably in about another 3 weeks. You'll have eel pout going up there, but the walleyes are right in there feeding. And then they're going to be staging at the creek and river mouths, as well as gravelly shorelines with stratified carb vegetation scattered around it. So getting on the edge of where they're going to come in is very important. But right now, just make sure you got a lot of gas for your auger and start drilling, but don't overlook the deep, open terrain. Setting tip-ups 20 feet down over 60 feet of water is kind of unheard of, but it's what we practice a lot when you can't find the walleyes, you know they're somewhere. And sometimes they use the water column based on bait fish.
Brian Brosnell is our guest here on Wild Michigan Bro. What about jigging vertically? You're probably using something a little bit heavier, a little bit bigger, like the buckshot spoon or the something new I saw was a fluttering buckshot spoon, I think, from Northland.
Oh, yeah. The buckshot flutter spoon is just unbelievable. It's been in every report, and not just because it's lure and it's a marketing thing. It's amazing. It's a zinc-based lure, so it falls different than lead or any other kind of metal, and it has multiple split rings. So when a fish does hit it, the treble hook goes farther in their mouth. But the buckshot flutter spoon, if you just hop it, it kicks forward like little karate kicks, and it just makes the fish hit. But my favorite, if you could find it, electric perch works everywhere. Works everywhere. That's the hottest one. Catch everything on it, even lake trout. It doesn't matter what you're fishing for. Just makes them mad. The way the action, it flutters. It has a similar shape to some of the stuff you see out there, but it's completely different because it immediately, with a wide base at the bottom, it kicks out to the side, and then it tumbles like crazy. But it's got a totally different action, a glass rattle bead. But, you know, don't just use electric perch. I mean, the other night, pink and the glow pink was really hot. There's all different colors, metallics, silver, gold. But give them a try. If you're not catching the perch or walleye, throw it on a buckshot flutter spoon. And you'll see the difference, and I love it. But another lure that's been really hot this year has been the Hexy Fly. I get reports on Facebook and on the internet all the time how bites are going from where I'm at to New York, and a lot of Michigan reports. And the Hexy Fly is probably one of the hottest lures. It shows up in your depth finder nice if you're fishing deep water, because it has a flat base. But it also kind of darts forward, just like your puppet minnows, your jig and rapalas have that forward darting movement. The Hexy Fly darts forward and just works great for everything.
Yeah, I've noticed that about that. Speaking with Brian Brosnell here on Wild Michigan, I've noticed that about the Hexy Fly, that it's got that kind of a ridged edges to it that when it drops, it's not dropping flat straight down like a round jig head will. It kind of pushes against the water, giving it kind of that forward motion.
Oh, and that's great. And, you know, this would this is kind of the dog days of winter, the middle of winter, and I know there's no ice yet, but it's the same, you know, in different parts of Minnesota just has sketchy ice. But this is when it kind of, you know, the fall bite is kind of past, but we're really close to the spring run everywhere, and the fish, they might not never stop. I mean, there's some lakes that haven't slowed down yet. And it's been a unique thing. I think we're going to see an earlier run, depending on the winter. It really dropped in the freezer here on this side, but they're going to start staging. Everything's going to stage, and the perch start schooling up this time of year. That's the cool thing. If you want jumbo perch, also they start schooling up. Jumbo perch are the midwinter fun fish.
All right, Brian Brosnell is our guest here. Check him out. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him on the Meet the Experts portion of our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lots of things going on, of course, bro. Just at the Ultimate Fishing Show in Detroit. And again, we're going to be at the Outdoorama Show coming up. If you want to win tickets to that, follow us on Facebook. We've been giving some tickets away for Outdoorama. That is coming up this month as well. And, of course, the Ultimate Sports Show making its way to Grand Rapids. All of that information is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and you can find Bro on all of those as well. Links on our website at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late, another night in Michigan.
Welcome Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Going to be all over the place, man. We've been on the road, I think, since the beginning of January, and it's not stopping. Going to be heading off to the Bassmaster Classic coming up the first weekend in March. So March 2nd through the 6th, I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, covering the Bassmaster Classic. And again, thanks to our friends at Dick's Sporting Goods for putting that together, because I love working that show, although I don't really get a chance to see much of it. I love meeting all the people, and this time it'll be in Tulsa, and looking forward to seeing our good friend Chad Pipkins hopefully place really well, and a couple other Michigan guys, Kevin and Jonathan Van Dam, at the Bassmaster Classic as well. But right now we're speaking with our other good friend, Brian Brosdahl. Bro has been with us probably almost, if not longer, than anybody else on this show since we started. We are now going into our 10th year, and we've been talking ice fishing and then fishing throughout the course of the year. But right now it is ice fishing season. And again, there's some unsafe ice on some of the lakes, so don't go out there driving around on some of it. And definitely don't go parking next to each other should you decide that, you know, a $50,000 auger is okay. But bro, let's talk a little bit about perch, because I don't think they normally don't really turn on until the latter part of the season, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You can catch them early on, but they just seem to be in little pods, and you'll hit a few here and there, usually in deep pockets. But as February, March roll around, is perch madness. That's when the perch start schooling up, and you can get some monster schools of perch. And they start moving up a little shallower. You'll still find them sometimes in the 20s. Some lakes, they stay in the deep all winter. It all depends on the forage. If there's more of an insect mass in the mud down deep, then they will be there. But they like to be where the old weed beds were, and that's where they have to stick their eggs when they spawn. So look to the outer edges of the weed beds in the upcoming weeks here, and there should be big schools of perch using flashy spoons, a gold flutter spoon, buckshot flutter spoon, followed up with a quick dropper on a mud bug. You know, it's simple. They hit hard. The biggest perch are the most active perch. So usually you can catch big ones right away. If it starts turning into a lot of small fish, keep moving. If you're targeting a little bigger sized perch, you can do well that way. If you're looking for trophy perch, it's the same. Usually when they come in, they'll eat, and they're big, especially this time of year. You know, photogenics, the angle of the sun, everything, the snow starts to thin down on the lakes, and everything triggers them to start biting more. And it's a fun time of year, and perch are wonderful to eat, and they're also a lot of fun to chase. And a real big one puts up a good tussle on light line.
Absolutely, yeah. I love perch, and I love catching them. And you answered my question about how to weed them out, because sometimes you get these really big schools, and there's a lot of small ones, but you say the bigger ones are the ones that are going to kind of push the small ones out of the way?
Oh, yeah. The biggest perch are the most active, and, you know, they will swim around. They kind of graze their way through the area. Well, when the little ones are there, you kind of – sometimes the big perch will come through in pods, and if you're on a giant body of water, you just have to wait for the bus to come in. Other times you could drill your way through. You don't need to drill a zillion holes. Just do a zigzag pattern of holes, just a couple of them, and don't use a giant auger. When you're targeting perch, you know, it's a smaller hole, even a 4.5-inch hole is all you need. You know, I see people drilling moon craters, 10-inch holes, when they're looking for perch. And even when they're drilling and looking, you don't need a hole that could swallow your boot. A lot of times, you know, there is a chance you could get a big pike or bass stuck in the hole. But most of the time, you can get a good-sized fish. I pulled a 24.5-inch walleye up a 4.5-inch hole, and it was really, really tight, but I got him up. So it just gives you an idea what you can fit up these holes. There's a totally different math to the what fits up those holes. But you don't have to use a 4.5-inch hole, but you can sure drill a lot more holes with a 6-inch bit. It lets less light down the hole. There's a lot more to it. There's less light going down the hole. If you do find the mother lode, you don't have great big moon craters. You got small craters that you could kick down, and you know, it's all nice to give away spots, but you know, spots are getting harder to come by. So I always tell people, you're doing a good thing if you kick your holes flat and don't leave them big moon craters for everybody to find. And you know, just a smaller hole scare the fish less. It's the cutting of the blades that makes the noise. It's not the muffler of the auger. any of the noise above. It's a cutting the hole. Any vibration that hits the ice is what they hear. So even a lighter drill cuts through faster with less force. A lot of times you could just use a drill that you may have in your garage, a brushless
sure.
drill with a Nilsmaster drill bit on the end of it. There's a lot of different drills in the market now. I like those. They're very inexpensive. For about $139, you can get a 4.5, 6, or an 8-inch drill that goes right on a Milwaukee drill or DeWalt, whatever you're a fan of. But it has to be brushless. And you get a couple batteries, and you could drill a lot of holes in a day's time with that.
You know, you really brought up an interesting point, because I'm seeing a lot of those, the cordless drills with those attachments, with those drills on there, that are really making a big difference. And you don't need that monstrous 10-inch hole that, you know, so many of us have gotten used to making.
Oh, yeah, and you don't need any in-between. I just put the bit right on the drill. It never falls off. You know, there's little things you can put on your drill so you can drill with your drill laying on some kind of plate. Go ahead, but I've never had it fall off. The only time it falls off is I give it to a buddy, and they don't seem to know what they're doing ever and never ask how to do things, and they're the only ones that have it fall off, but it never falls off. You tighten it on your cordless drill and go. You don't need to spend $50, $80, $100 on some plate with handles, and that's starting to go out of fashion anyway. Just get your drill and buy the bit, and you're all set. And it's surprisingly, it's light, and if you have less than a foot of ice, you could just drill forever on one lithium battery. Just keep them warm. Put them in your coat pocket. I've never had any problems. I get a lot of sub-zero temperatures, but you get two batteries of some of your drill. When you buy the drills at the store, you can get two batteries, lithium batteries, and buy the bits online. I think the bits are getting close to selling out. That's how popular they are. But I'll search even for walleyes with a smaller bit. And when I'm set up and I have guide trips, then I'll use a larger bit, a 7 or 8 inch bit. It's just easier for inexperienced people to pull fish up a hole. Because they tend to, as soon as they see that fish at the bottom hole, they force it up. And they lose a lot of fish at the hole that way. But the real trick is when the walleye's fighting at the bottom of the hole is to pull just enough to keep pressure on the hook in its mouth, but not too hard, because that's where they pull away about 3 or 4 times at the bottom of the hole and then guide the head up and get it in.
Brian Brosnall is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, real quickly, you mentioned brushless drill. Could you explain and what's the advantage of that?
Well, it doesn't overheat. You know,
okay.
What happens with a regular drill that people own is you'll put these heads on it and they overheat and you could burn them out. The brushless drills don't overheat and they're pretty commonplace. A Milwaukee brushless hammer drill with 2 lithium batteries is the one I got. You can look for them on sale at your hardware stores, Home Depots, and stuff like that. And some of them will just try to sell one battery with it. Don't get that one. Get the double battery kit. And it's just amazing how long they last. I've seen people on the ice with DeWalts. I'm not a brand person when it comes to a hand drill. Give me a DeWalt or a Milwaukee. I don't care. As long as it's brushless, hammer drill, and set it. There's different settings that you put it on. You want to put it on a drill mode and not a hammer drill, because it just drills differently. And let me tell you something, it's amazing, and they don't fall out. Don't go buying another plate that some places are selling in between your drill and your bit. You don't need that. Save money, just get a Nils bit or even a K drill. It doesn't matter. A Nils bit works great. They're inexpensive, and they got great customer service.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest. Real quickly, bro, you going to be on the road someplace? I mean, are you going to be doing a lot of guiding over there in Minnesota right now?
Well, right now it's getting into guide season, so I'll be guiding all the way through. I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin here in March, and then from then on it's all guiding. I'll be doing a tournament on the Detroit River, so I'm looking forward to that. The MWC, when it comes, you'll find me on the Detroit River. If you're out there, just come by and wave. I'd be glad to talk to you, but love fishing there. at some spots they always seem to be at in the spring run. I am looking forward to it. Can't wait.
All right, man. Sounds good. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. And maybe we get you in studio here, sit you down for a couple of minutes. Brian Brosdell.
We'll get you in a boat.
Yeah, that's always better. I never dream big enough. Brian Brosdell, appreciate you joining
Thanks,
us, man.
Fred.
As always, check him out, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him on Twitter at BroBull. Of course, all of our links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Lucky Buck. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. And especially thanks to you for 10 great years on the Michigan Talk Network.